Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hello and welcome everybody to episode number 14 of the Real Estate Sales Show. I am your host, like always, Danny Morrell. I am here with an exciting guest, guys. I think you're going to learn a lot on today's show. This is another one of the titans of the industry, right? I'm really pumped up about this one. And before we get started, if you haven't already heard, episode number 14 was last week with a gentleman by the name of Juan Aguirre, who is doing phenomenal things. Listen to this. Took his business from 22 transactions a year. He was stuck there for 10 years in a row. We kind of got together, started talking, and this year he will close upwards of 80 transactions. And that's just in a 3-year span. So if you haven't heard episode number 14, please go ahead and do that. Without further ado, I want you to meet my good friend, Mr. Alex Lair. Say hello, Alex.
Hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I am actually doing really, really well.
By the way, Alex, I was going to say Alex Lair from blah, 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 but yep. I just know you're up in Northern California. So where are you from exactly?
Okay. Again, I'm Alex Lair. My company is Lair Real Estate. And actually, to be honest with you, we just celebrated our 40th year in business. Oh. Yeah. So it's been a good run. And we're actually right in dead center in the Silicon Valley. So we work from San Francisco to San Jose. And if you threw a dart right in the middle, we're 25 miles either direction.
That's where you are.
Yep.
So, Alex, the good news is you've been in business 40 years and you're only 25.
Well, you know, it's all that good face cream.
So, Alex, 40-year run. It's funny, as I was preparing for this conversation, I was thinking, this has been a long while, you know?
Yeah, and it really has been.
And you've got to be proud of that because you have stayed the course, my friend. You have stayed the course.
Yeah.
So let's get started with this. I know how long you've been in the business. What got you into real estate? And how old were you when you, well, you know what? Don't answer that one. What got you into the business? Let's start with that one.
Well, to start off, my dad was an original broker. So he started the company back in 1976. And then from there, by the time I was 18, I was going to college. You know, I went to a local JC and I'm like, man, what do I want to do? You know, I'm figuring, I love to hunt. I love to do all kinds of things. So I decided, you know, I could either go make money and pay to be where I want to be on vacation, or I could go work there. Mm-hmm. So I went around and looked at it for a while and decided, you know what, I'm going to give real estate a try. So by the time I was 19, I was actually got my license, was in the business.
So dad was already a broker.
Yeah.
Was in the business way back since 76.
Yep.
And what were home prices back then like?
You know what the worst part is? I got commission checks bigger than some of those houses.
There's some of the houses that
it's crazy.
That's fantastic. Crazy. And so you got into the business at 19.
Yep.
And here's a big question right off the bat, because now you're a dad, obviously, and we're gonna get into that. But did your dad ever pressure you to get into the business? Did you ever feel that? And I guess I'm bringing that up because there's a lot of our listeners that may be in that situation right now. How mm-hmm. did he handle it, and how did you learn from the way that he handled it?
Well, you know, that's actually a real good question, because all too often, you know, my dad was, you know, he was a great guy, did really well. He'd been in real estate a long time before that. And like a lot of people, you know, back in the 50s, you know, hard charging, you go to the bar to do the deals and, mm-hmm. you know, built a real estate empire. And I watched him unravel it drinking and gambling.
Really?
So, by the time I was in high school, I was out fishing, selling the fish to buy high school clothes and do stuff like that. Cause it was like, dude, we had hit a spot where I was like, okay, I seen what could be. And then I seen where he was.
Right.
And then ultimately I was like, okay, we live on this side of the tracks. He drives this side of the car, and look at all these other realtors and look at how they're living. I said, there's gotta be a better way. So that's what got me into it. But what had happened was he wasn't really forcing me at all. I just knew I wanted to figure a way to make a lot of money. That's right. All I knew. Right. I had no brains. I had desire.
You know, Alex, God bless you for saying that, man, because the reality is I was thinking about this the other day, is that that's all I knew.
Yeah.
You know, all I knew and all I know to this day is not, now it's no longer for me about the money, as I'm sure it's changed for you.
Yeah.
Now it's just about, all I know is that I want to do some great things in life. And as a result, I just try to keep it simple. You know, it sounds to me like that's what you did.
You really, really have to just keep it simple, because realistically what happens is, and my sister got me this license plate when I was a kid, and or not a kid, when I first started, and it said Raw Desire. Mm-hmm. And the reason being, desire finds a way, everything else finds an excuse.
Oof. Desire finds a way and everything else finds an excuse.
That's it. If you're doing it because you're all cerebral about your motivation, I've got this why that I've written down on paper, but you're not connected to it, you'll find an excuse.
Yeah, man.
You got some other reason outside of something that's just burning in you that, damn it, I won't be denied.
Right.
You'll find an excuse.
And so are you one of those guys or one of those people, for that matter, that kind of always had that burning desire, or is that something that kind of that flame was kind of fanned and turned into a fire? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, part of, and that's actually a really good question again, because when you're starting off, you find the ability, or you're going out to find. Let me put it this way: when you're starting off, you're finding a belief, like, okay, man, I believe I can do this. Then you take action to learn a part of that belief and how can I do it. Then once you've done it, and you've done it so well for so long, you have a knowing.
Right.
And what I have, having done it for 33 years now, I have an actual knowing. So when I walk in front of somebody, they're going to get the gospel.
Yeah.
That's how simple it is. Yeah. I don't need to hype them. When I was young, it was all energy and lit up.
Right, right.
And then the now it's more like a sniper.
Yes.
It's precision.
I love it. I love
yeah.
it. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. Man, I got a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
Take us through, because I love the listeners to hear what's possible. So I've got a two-part question, and then we'll get into the meat and potatoes. I guess part number one is, give me transactionally, like what's your history been like, if you don't mind sharing?
No, of course. Well, when I first started, you know, we all follow different trainers, and I've followed Mike Ferry, you know, for many years, over 20 plus years now.
Yeah.
And when I started, my wife and I, the very first time we went to the Superstar Retreat, we stayed at the Motel 6. 15 miles down the road,
yep.
Shared a room because we could barely get to even get in the retreat. I barely had the money.
Right.
And then my ultimately what had happened was, my wife, being who she is, since she couldn't be in the retreat, she sat outside the doors, listened to Mike through in the lobby, writing notes.
No way.
Absolutely. Then she went down to the pool to sit in the pool with the wives of all the superstars, just to watch their behaviors, to understand what it meant to be like with money.
Wow.
And so she, you know, it became a point of, we combined forces and decided, okay, we're in. And when we're in, we're all in.
Right.
So I started off, and I was always doing well, making money. But, you know, at the time we had lost a little bit. I was 20, whatever I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started off, and I was doing about 18 deals a year. Then I was like, okay, 18, 36, 40s, you know, into the 40s, ran there for a while. And I kept back to it. I started doing it. And then I kept introducing, or Mike exposed me to people that showed me what was possible.
Yeah.
When I saw that, man, that's, and here's a sidebar. Everybody pay attention to this. It's called scaffolding. If you had 18 deals or 10 deals or 5 deals, or looking at somebody doing 100, that seems impossible. But if you meet somebody doing 20, you're going, man, if they can do 20, I can kick their ass.
Right.
And damn it, I'm gonna.
Right.
So then the guy at 20 is going, man, if that guy can do 40, that guy, and then 40 is going, I can do 60. And it just keeps scaffolding up. And that's the beauty of what you're creating, quite honestly, Danny, and as well as what Mike's done.
Yeah.
So ultimately, that's what happened. And then I went on up to where, by the time I was in my 30s, I was selling the most homes in San Mateo County.
Period. So, the whole county.
The whole county.
And what, so, did that, what did that look like?
At that point, I had one assistant,
okay,
and I was doing over 70 deals a year.
Ugh.
And at that point, in our marketplace, I was, you know, it was pretty good. I mean, it was actually really good for our marketplace.
Well, listen, time out, guys, because here's one thing you have to understand. So 70 deals at an average sales price of?
Back then, it was probably about 800, and, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood.
That's back then.
Back then.
Right now, what's your average sales price?
Right now, my average is 1.5.
Oh my God! So that means that for every, let's see here. So for every 5 houses we sell, you go sell one.
That's kind of the nice part about it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Right. That's fantastic. I love it. Okay, great. All right, great. Yeah. So best year ever, Alex. What did you do?
Best year ever in transaction count was over 220 transactions, but that was in the REO days.
Okay.
You know, no problem. So, but what I did was, You know the guys, Ty and Joe D, yeah, and all the guys that
they've all been guests on the show, and that, yeah, absolutely.
All the people you're bringing together, the guys that are truly, in my opinion, Joe D is probably one of the best salespeople I know, period. Ty is probably one of the most motivated, lit up, just passionate, energetic human beings I know.
Yep.
So those guys, we all went on the road and we did REO. But the beauty of doing that much REO, it taught me a couple things. First of all, and again, this isn't for everybody, but this was my personal. I learned I hated not being connected to clients because it had no soul for me. And I disliked it. But the beauty of what it taught me was I can do 200 deals falling out of bed.
Right.
But that's not what I wanted. So I went back to changing what I really want, where I really connect with the business. Because like Tony says, Tony Robbins says, business is an emotional. I mean, it does have emotion. You got to have some passion to it.
You absolutely do. And by the way, you just mentioned Tony Robbins. I interviewed Greg Harrelson a couple of weeks ago. He's a Tony Robbins fan. He's gone to Unleash the Power Within a couple of times.
Yep.
I've gone to Unleash the Power Within 3 times. I'm going to Business Mastery this year. And yet I see people. I'll be honest. There's people in my very building right now, right? We have 310 agents now that I try to tell them, like, you flat out just... You can't make it as big as you want to make it if you don't expose yourself to some of these teachings and some of these beliefs.
Absolutely.
And tell me about that. How much do you think you have invested in the last 40 years in your own coaching and education and books and...
Tens of... I probably spent in true cost... On an average year, I'm spending at least $50,000.
On average, no matter what?
Hell or high water. Because if you're not really pushing yourself, and this is something that I get a little frustrated with, and along the lines, and if I, you know, first of all, I'm not
just
very
go,
PC.
Buddy. Just
okay.
go, just go.
Here's what it is.
Yeah.
In essence, I get tired of people basically doing this, saying, hey, God, thanks for this gift that I've been given to be on this planet. And by the way, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to lay around, be a lazy little piece of crap, and I'm not going to do anything with this gift. Because if you truly understand how temporary we are on this planet and what a true gift it is, you will not waste a moment.
Not a second.
Damn it. And it's like on my worst day, somebody would beg to have my worst day. On somebody's that's crippled, someone would beg to have their life, even Absolutely. Being crippled. So for a moment, if you're a self-absorbed, little, sorry, whining piece of crap, get out of the way, please.
Yes, please. Yes. I love
Life's
it.
Too short.
I love it. Yes. Yes. Listen, you know what? Sometimes people have to hear that.
Well, the realities are, man, if you leave the business today, there's not going to be tears of sorrow. If you leave the industry or I leave the industry, someone will fill our place. So get out of the way and quit taking up space unless you're going to commit to the excellence that's been put within you.
So I love that, Alex. So talk to me because I think, you know, for me growing up, you know, earning $100,000 in a year was like, forget about it. I was Burger King himself, right?
Yeah.
So, and yet as I started to get exposed to more people, I started to see that there was just much more possibility, right? So so you don't have to give me an exact, but just people need to hear this, okay? Well, give me ballpark, best yearly income as a real estate agent as what you do.
2.8 million.
Okay, so I want you guys all to write that number down, please, okay? Because I want you to realize that the difference between that number and then when you start erasing the zeros, right, is what's going on in your head at all times.
Okay? Oh, absolutely.
That's the difference, people, right? And you can't pinpoint it any much more than what Alex said is that every single year he invests $50,000 into himself, into his mind, his brain, his motivation, his intent, into his learning, right? So, Alex, let me ask you this. If I'm a listener right now and I say enough is enough, I want to change my life, I want to someday, you know, make $2.8 million, what are some of the foundational things that you think people need to learn?
Well, you know, and this is going to be a little bit of a contrarian approach to this. First of all, accept the fact that you are temporary. Okay. Accept the fact that you are not that great. Accept the fact that you need to grow and improve every day. accept the fact that there is a bigger world out there that you're playing so small in.
Right.
And we all be the biggest fish in our own little ponds. So right. Expand your pond, get around people that are doing more. But here's the one thing that the reason I invest so much in my mind is this. Our brains are like a well. If you've ever seen a well of pure water, when you're born, you have this purity. It's this God-given absolute clarity. The world is a blank slate. But what winds up happening is over time, poison gets into that well.
Yep.
So our job every day, and if you're not doing this through affirmations or books or working out or doing things positively for you, your brain is like a well. And if somebody drops poison, that well is contaminated. Mm-hmm. But if you're overflowing with good ideas, great thoughts, great messages, nothing can pour in. Because if you tried to pour water inside of a fire hose, can it ever get in?
Mm-mm.
Because so much good is coming out. Well, your brain has to operate the same way. So for that reason, foundationally, you got to start working on your beliefs. Get your beliefs in line that it is possible. From there, develop the skills to know that, man, I'm not going to get them all, but I'm going to get a few more than I thought I could. Once you get your skills, then you develop your skills. Now you've got some history that you've actually done it. Now you work on a knowing. And when you have that knowing, there's not a client that comes in front of me that doesn't know who the right person is to get the job done for. It doesn't matter whether they're billionaires or beginners. It is the same conviction.
And just to be clear, Alex, and if you're saying that, you're saying that from experience, mm-hmm. you obviously must work with some high net worth individuals.
I've put it this way. I have to sign non-disclosures for my clients. And some of them, even in so much as Gabe Zuckerberg things for to start Facebook. I mean, there's clients out there that are, there's some real tight. Best part about it, you never know.
Right.
They're humble.
Right.
It's actually really cool.
I love it, Alex. I love it. Yeah. Okay, so Alex, you said three things. You said number one is beliefs.
Yep.
The second is skills. Mm-hmm. And the third is knowing.
Correct.
And it's so amazing that, you know, when I'm talking to my agents, and I talk about two of them. I talk about mojo and skills. And mojo, I like to think of Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Austin Powers when he lost his mojo?
Heck yeah.
Right? Mojo is like, it's your belief system, it's your mindset, it's your passion, it's your enthusiasm, right?
Yeah.
So I want to do something I've never done before because I really want to start getting deeper with these conversations, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
So I know I have my foundational beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do this? Give me two or three of your best foundational beliefs. I'd love to share two or three of my best foundational beliefs because I think some people don't know what they don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think it's a cool concept to think, okay, I got to work on my mindset, right? But then what are the thoughts? So give me one thought, one belief that you have about yourself.
I'm gonna give you a rapid fire, if you will, because, you know, I've been doing my affirmations for so many years. It's not something I have to, you know, what am I? I'm strong. I'm powerful. I'm determined. I'm focused. I am a man of my word. Every day, God manifests his power, light, and glory through me. Every day, money attracts and flows to me. Every day, my wife and I live a strong, healthy, passionate, sex-filled marriage. My children are strong. My children are bright. My children are focused. They are determined. And so, you know, there's a whole series of just mantras. It's not even like I have to think about it.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I hope you all are hearing this because I in one of these episodes, Alex, I said the conversation that we're all beings and we're all just kind of walking around the earth. And the difference between each and every one of us is this thing called the mind. And the mind is what controls the actions that we take. People, listen to me. If you mm-hmm. believe those words that Alex just said, there's no way you can't make $2 million a year. It's impossible. It's literally defies the laws of the universe, right?
Well, and you know, the realities are there's so much that is possible. And just to back up for one moment, back to the beliefs, you know, one thing you have to be careful of is no matter what you say to yourself, it's an affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So even in so much as part of the beauty, my wife and I have aligned at a level that, you know, I have to say it's truly a gift. And one of the things we do, we work on it because if you, even with your spouses, what are your affirmations to each other? Mm. Because all too often we don't know, but we're having something affirmed. My wife constantly tells me, she goes, I know you will. You're a man of your word.
Mm.
It's something that I don't even live up to be my own affirmations as much as I live up to be hers of me.
I love it.
love it. You know, that's the clarity. You really have to know that there's other people that count on you.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that, Alex, because that was one of the reasons why I was excited to have you on the show. I obviously respect what you've done in the business world, and yet I respect 10 times more what you've done in terms of your family. And I bring this up because it was very interesting. I saw you in July. We were at the retreat. We had a great time. And I hosted a little cocktail party. And I noticed that not only were you there, but on your right side was your wife. On your left was your daughter, your beautiful daughter, who, by the way, I think just got engaged, right?
She did. Yes, she did.
Congrats. That's a whole nother seminar, right?
It is.
How to deal with that, right?
It is.
And then in lockstep was her now fiance, right? So, you know, to me, it was very impressive that I thought to myself, in an industry where we are filled with so much deceit and so much corruption in terms of the family, you have obviously been able to master the art of leading your household and creating a loving environment. I could see it without even really spending too much time with you guys. You know? And I could see very clearly that you were the leader, right? And yet I could also see that your wife respected you, you respected her. So I would love to talk about that. I'd love to talk about how you were able to build a business and yet have a great family life, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. And I know where, you know, this is, and I could tell you, I could give you, because my wife, Denise, is a master at, I call it pixie dust. She comes along and she'll plant a seed and she knows, just let it sit for a little bit. And in my mind, it'll connect. And all of a sudden I'll be like, man. And I think I'm the one that came up with the idea. And she is just, she's a master at knowing how to actually guide me without being manipulative. And we're the one thing we've always said is this: your kids are going to lay on a couch someday and blame you for something. So get past the fact you're going to be the perfect parent. So we don't even try. But what we do is when we talk to our kids or anything we do, the decision that we make, we tell them, look it, the decisions we make are based on what is best for this family as a unit. You may not like the choices, but that's it. The other thing about it is my wife and I really, really have taken and embraced a lot of what Tony Robbins has talked about. Where with our family, especially in business, we took it and we enrolled them a lot. Our kids, we took out the wall calendars. And so every time when I set up my goals, I have the wall calendar out and I go, look it, here's my goal for the quarter. Because as your kids grow, you have different seasons that you need to be involved in their lives. In the beginning, you got to be really, really hands-on. In high school, they're going to be like, man, how far can you get away from
it?
Then you got to get back to it again. So what we figured out, though, was when we enrolled them in our goals, because all too often in real estate or any industry for that matter, people get all twisted up about, you know, the fact that they're not going to be there for their kids, or their kids are, oh, our goals and our kids are disassociated. So back to it. We took the calendar and said, here, hey guys, if I sell this many houses, we're going on a trip to blank. If I do this, I list this many houses, this is what we're doing to, going to. So when the kids were little, they weren't like, hey dad, how come you're not home? They're like, dad, I come through the door. How many houses did you sell today? Well, you better get out there, man, because if we don't get this done, we're not going to Disneyland. We're not going on that trip. And then so I was like, damn, this is working really well. But then I was like, all of a sudden I'm showing up at their school things and they're like, well, why are you here? Shouldn't you be selling houses? So then my wife, Denise, would literally, we developed rubber and crystal balls. So this is another critical thing for people with small kids. When the kids would have an event, she would go, okay, look, here's an event. I'd go rubber or crystal, because you're juggling balls every day, your life, your business and everything. And she would go, okay, this is a crystal ball. Crystal ball is major birthday, first time they're ever doing something, whatever it is, it's a crystal ball. You don't drop crystal balls. I clear my calendar, whatever it takes. If she goes, it's rubber, I go, okay, rubber. If I can make it work, I will. If not, I move on. So we just, you know, really aligned on our communication on how we could enroll them in the business. So they saw a business where we got to have a lot of fun. They got to be part of a process. And then ultimately they understood that there was a lot of money to be made. And man, how come we're living a pretty good darn life? We taught them early, if that's, you know, long way around, sorry.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Tell me this. I think a lot of life has to do with principles. So what are some principles that you do not violate when it comes to your family life? Because Alex, I bring that up because I think that's part of the problem sometimes. You know, part of the problem is that we violate inner principles and belief systems that we know we shouldn't, right? Mm-hmm. And that leads to disaster.
Well, I mean, and that's part of having your own compass lined up. And when you're part of being a good leader is having enough information to where you're constantly testing yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm always trying to be wrong. The more I'm wrong, the more I can grow.
Love it.
So part of that is keeping, and that also teaches me where my north is. So when it comes to the family, we had certain characteristics that we wanted to ensure that they had in them. And when it came to kids, we always wanted to make it more challenging. We wanted to simulate struggle. And, you know, we always wanted to make sure that they had, you know, that we talked to them like adults and families, and we had, well, I'm jumping three things in
That's
my
okay.
mind right
That's
now.
That's okay.
But basically, you know, we wanted to have a moral, a spiritual connection.
Okay.
They needed to know God. We wanted them to learn diamonds and dirt to where I could take them and throw them in the woods, they would survive, or I could bring them to a 5-star hotel, they knew exactly how to behave. So we gave them a wide versatility. So when it came to guidelines for my wife and myself, we decided early on, hey, look, when it comes to, when we fight in front of them, we're gonna also reverse it, sit down and say, hey, look, guys, this is what we're discussing. This is where it got away. And this is what we talked about to get it fixed. Mm. So we really worked on the primary focus with ours was communication. You know, and it is still to this day, because the biggest thing that I would say, having family and business, they understand the drivers are about the growth, but mm-hmm. more importantly, it's the driver about them growing.
Right.
And then, you know, so that's become our primary focus. And then how do we communicate all the time, keeping real good open lines? But again, spiritually backgrounded, well-grounded, making sure they've got good financial principles, making sure they got good moral compasses, what they do when no one else is looking, because that's what really counts. You know, those are, again, without taking over too much.
No, you know, it sounds to me like, you know, obviously it's a career in of itself, right? Raising mm-hmm. these amazing human beings that you've been entrusted to. So it's a lot of work. Any last minute thoughts about this subject before we get more into production-based type of conversation?
Well,
any advice, you know?
The biggest thing I would say is, especially when it comes to kids, because the biggest thing and this is where I go contrarian. There's a guy named Peter Thiel, and he goes, what important, and I'm just reading it out. There's a book called Zero to One. Read
Absolutely.
That book.
Yes.
Zero to One. And what important truth do very few people agree with you on? And my biggest belief is scare your kids on a regular basis. All too often we're standing there coaching them and getting along. Let them hang by their own rope occasionally. Mm-hmm. Let them, like for instance, when ours were playing sports or when they were doing things, I said, you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for yourselves. Mm-hmm. I won't be at your games. Because you know what? If you're waiting for me to applaud you, you're waiting for the wrong person. You're doing it because it's internal.
Right.
So even at a young age, we taught them a lot of just about independence, a lot about relying on themselves. And I'm a firm believer also, you know, backing up for a moment, get them to step outside themselves. When they were little, we would drop them off in the dark. Because check this out. This was Richard Branson's mom. She would take him, drop him off. And for those of you that don't know Richard Branson, he's Virgin,
right.
The Virgin Industries. She would take him when he was 5 years old in the English countryside, drop him off and let him find his way home. And he was scared to death, but he would run and try and find his way home. At first, he hated it, but ultimately, he found a passion for adventure. And he says that was critical in his willingness to grow outside of himself. Mm. And all too often right now, we're raising ourselves and kids with this safety BS.
Mm-hmm.
No more. There is no safe. You are mortal. You are going to pass. You've been given a gift. Quit playing it safe. Mm. Play all out. That would be my biggest message, man. Play all out.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Alex, so I'm sure you're going to inspire a lot of people through this conversation.
And, well, I hope so.
Yeah, I know so for sure. And so let's kind of bring it back down to basics and let's talk a little bit about skills and production for a second here.
Sure.
There's a listener out there that just says, man, oh man, I am lit up. You know, someday I want to earn a lot of money. Someday I want to have a big business, right?
Sure.
I talk a lot about paying the price up front. so that you can have the type of lifestyle that you are experiencing today, right? In other words, what I mean is that I'm sure that the way you get business today may not necessarily resemble the way you got business at the very beginning. Is that a fair assessment? Or
that is about as accurate as it gets.
Okay, yeah. Good. All right, good. So let's talk about the beginning. You know, first off, what's the price that you paid? What are the things that you did that most people don't do to become who most people won't become?
Well, to start off, I started off with just, like I said, with the desire to go out. So there was a teacher a broker in the area that said, for every door there is a bell, the more you ring, the more you sell. So what I did was literally just went out and started knocking on doors. And the first time, within a week, a gal says, yeah, I want to list my house. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go get my dad. I'll be back. And I went and got my dad to come help me list the house because I had no idea even what form to use.
Right.
So that was the beginning. But what it taught me was a master's in communication. You knock on 50 or 100,000 doors, you're going to learn how to communicate. You do that many presentations.
Absolutely.
So that was first and foremost, was developing a skill set and a skill base. And while my buddies were calling me going, hey, man, come on, we're going to the beach. I was like, man, no, I'm going to go actually, and I'm going to go knock on doors. I know it's 90 degrees and I'm going to sweat through a suit. That's where I'm going.
How many doors would you knock on?
Back in the day, I would knock basically, it was 90 cards per inch.
Okay.
And I'd hit 2 inches a day.
So 180.
180 doors.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And Alex, we are living in a world now, 40 years later, obviously, where people want to try to do as little as possible. Right? Right? They don't want to knock on doors. They don't want to prospect. I'll tell you, here in Southern California, people think we are weird, right? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I have agents that now 5 years later, literally, I have one agent in particular, love this guy named Robert. Robert went from one brokerage to the next brokerage to the next broker, literally within a 1 mile radius, and avoided us, just avoided us like the plague, right?
Yeah,
and finally he came, and in 1 year he did more production than he had in the previous 4 years combined because we actually showed him how to work.
Yeah.
Nowadays, Alex, people don't like to work. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me about that. What are your beliefs about that? And what are your beliefs about the gift you gave yourself by working so hard at the very beginning?
Well, yeah, and here's the irony. I'm going to use it. You know, sorry for the profanity. Here's the bullshit in most people's minds.
Yeah.
You pay every day. Where do you go in the morning to go do what? You go to the gym too.
To the gym, yeah.
And you work out.
Right.
You pay to go to a place that provides nothing but resistance. Hmm. The whole place is designed around resistance. You pay to get on a treadmill. You pay to get lift the weights. You pay for them to provide you resistance. Then you go to work to avoid it. Are you out of your freaking tree? I mean, come on, man. The human condition requires resistance to be its best.
Yeah.
And if you don't resist, and if you don't fight what you're resisting here, you're dead. Go hang yourself. Go do something else, please. But the fact is, if you embrace what you're resisting and you can really take it on, that is where the magic is. Because there's only a few people there. Everybody else is down at the bottom bitching.
You're absolutely right. And Alex, how quickly do you, I talk a lot about making fast business decisions and just fast decisions, period. How quickly do you make decisions when it comes to this type of stuff?
Oh my God. Well, I analyze and execute. If I know that something's right, I don't want to wait. I look and if my gut tells me it lines up, because the biggest mistakes I've made financially, quite honestly, were when I allowed my brain to overpower my gut. Mm. And one of the things I've learned having been in business this long is to look at it, smell it, test it, and don't rely on other people to do your homework. Mm-hmm. So if I do the numbers and it makes sense and I go, man, there's a golden egg right there, we execute. I don't want to sit around. Because in this marketplace, in this lifetime, you have to be adjustable. You have to be flexible. But you have to be disciplined. Here's the irony. You have to be disciplined in your activities. You have to be disciplined in your structure of your life, but you have to be highly flexible in your approach.
I love it. I love it. It's so funny. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I try to be as coachable of a spirit as I possibly can be.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the keys to anything that I've been able to accomplish is that I'm always trying to learn. Selfishly, one of the reasons I did this show is because I mean, I love learning and I love conversating with great people like yourself. I literally cannot wait to go home, tell my wife that we're going to drop our kids off at the corner in the dark and make them walk home. I mean, I just, because you know what? You're right. I love my kids so much, right? That I don't feel like I have them in a cocoon, but maybe I do because I know what I went through, right? Mm-hmm. I know what it was like living in the ghetto and the slums, and I know what it was like getting chased by gangs and all that stuff. They'll never have to go through that, but heck, that's part of what made me who I am today.
And that's why if you don't simulate that struggle for them and the people around you, you'll be amazed because you've heard the old analogy, how do you cripple a butterfly? Mm. If you haven't, here's what it is. When a butterfly is coming out of its cocoon, it's struggling, it's fighting, it's willing its way out of this cocoon. Most people would say, especially in today's, you know, candy ass age, everybody would be, oh, help the butterfly. That's not right that they have to struggle. So right. They'd go and clip the butterfly out of the cocoon. Well, the butterfly would die immediately because it's never developed its wings. The nature has designed that struggle to develop the wings through that process to allow it to fly. If not, the wings are underdeveloped, it dies. Children are no different. If you don't create struggle for them, ours, we would take them to our ranch, put them on the farthest corner in the dark, frisk them, make sure they had no flashlights, pitch dark, and now find your way back.
How many miles or how long?
Well, it's all well over a mile through canyons and mountains. There's mountain lions, there's snakes, there's everything out there. But we wanted them to rely on each other and we wanted them to trust their instincts. Wow. And you know what? There is a Darwinism in life. Mm-hmm. If people keep making the world idiot-proof, we're going to have more idiots. So I keep telling my kids, I go, look it, if you're going to be stupid, you better be smart. So at this point... use your head before you do it. And I allow them to make mistakes. Yeah. I allow them to crash. I want to see how they get back up when they're on their face. I love that. I'm not going to run over and pick them up ever. Yeah. I'm going to let them taste what the blood of their own lips feels like. But that's part of it. You know, that's, again, I know where I'm digressing, but that's part of it.
No. Okay. Same thing though in real estate sales. It's 100%. Like the easy way out is to go contact Zillow. The easy way out is to go get these internet leads. And again, it's not that there's anything wrong with it, people, but listen to me. You'll never become who you're truly intended to become unless you go out there and door knock for 3 to 5 years. Get on the phones. Get your butt kicked. Get it handed to you. So what if they say no? So what if they spit in your face? So some of the greatest relationships I've ever built in the sales business were from people who slammed the door in my face and I just stuck my foot and said, whoa, hold on. Let me talk for a second. That's how you gain respect, you know?
Absolutely. And look, you have a belief system. Danny, as far as anybody I know, I watch you, I go, man, if this guy didn't sell real estate, he should have been a preacher. You have got a belief and a knowing beyond anybody I've ever seen. So for that reason, that's the message you're conveying. And if the people that are listening and working for you truly understand how clear you are, that is it. Most people are looking for the easy way out, but then they've never struggled. They've never had to develop the skills, which is part of that butterfly, they've never developed the skill set. So then even if they go get the Zillow leads, they're going to fall on their face because they don't have anything. What you're teaching is exactly the fundamentals that most people won't spend the time to. That's why I could tell you, I'm standing a million miles away watching you going, this guy is going to crush it. He is developing an army. I see it as clear as day. And I love it, honestly.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts, you know what? I hope I never have any.
I love it.
I just want to keep on grabbing new ones, keep implementing and stuffing my mind full of new ones, and every day hopefully becoming the person that my wife believes I am.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Alex, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Did you have a good time?
You know what? I always have a good time, man. And more importantly, whenever I see you and see what you're doing, I am inspired to just to be part of it. And again, I can't thank you enough for allowing me to be even beyond this.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, I feel like we can just keep going. As a matter of fact, I feel like we should be sitting in front of a campfire with some hot chocolate and just talking and learning and growing.
We come on out to the ranch.
Yeah, we're gonna have
we'll
to
have
that.
You do it.
Yep,
yeah, definitely. I mean it. Days.
Absolutely. So, Alex, how do people find you on social media? If they have referrals for you, if they have questions, whatever, how do they hook up with you?
Well, here's the thing. And, you know, I love giving back also. So if there's anybody that's listening to this and wants to be in the San Francisco Bay Area or you're up in this area, come say hello to us. We have, you know, you're welcome to come prospect with us if that's what you really want to do. You know, I'm at Alex Lair. I'm Lair Real Estate. My email is alex@lehrrealestate.com. You're welcome to come by. You're welcome to hang out. More importantly, you're welcome to see the culture and what we're doing to create excellence for our clients, candidly. And then from there, ultimately, we benefit by serving them. So we'd love to have you out as well. So again, and you guys are always welcome. You know that.
Awesome. Everybody, episode number 15. Of the Real Estate, it feels like just yesterday I did episode number one, so this is exciting. Episode number 15 of the Real Estate Sales Show is a wrap. Hopefully you've liked it, liked this conversation. Hopefully you've gained a lot from it. I know you will. Listen, sometimes we dig deep into prospecting and marketing and objection handling, and sometimes we just need to dig deep into life and belief systems and the way to think. And I think that for me, this has been the one of the most impactful conversations I've had so far. I hope you enjoyed it. Please make sure that you go on iTunes, you like it, you give us a 5 or 6 star or 7 or 8 star rating, whatever it is, leave a comment, and go to realestatesalesshow.com. Go ahead and share this with as many people as possible, because I think that we've got a lot of people in this industry and we've got a lot of people in business in general that need to hear this conversation. So Alex, my friend, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Danny. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and I will see you, when am I going to see you? At the retreat?
I'm for sure at the retreat. I'm actually going to be down in Las Vegas on Monday.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. And if not, I'm going to talk to Claudia so that we can go drop off our kids in your woods. Maybe they'll,
you have to.
Yeah, maybe they'll deal with a mountain lion or two, you know?
Be fun.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.